Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John, the first chapter. And this is like the overture to the gospel as a whole. It raises themes that are developed throughout the gospel later on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and when without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The next reading is from Paul's correspondence with the Corinthian church. Just one very important line. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the question for us is, how is that the heart of Christmas? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you done your Christmas shopping yet? Where are you? Have you done your shopping yet? My wife actually started her Christmas shopping back in August. She was looking around at some of those craft fairs they have up on the Cape, and she was looking for things that the girls might like for Christmas. Now just think a bit. What was the best Christmas gift you ever gave? What is the best Christmas gift you ever received? What is the best gift you're going to give this year? I think Christmas actually has to do a lot with the very best Christmas present of all. The present God has given to us in that child born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I was surprised. I didn't realize that the study of gift giving is a major thing for scientists. Apparently involves a lot of very complex human behavior. What makes a good gift? Now, according to these people, these scientists who examine human behavior, there are four qualities of a very good gift. One, it says something about the giver. Two, it's very appropriate and fitting for the person it's given to. Third, there's an element of mystery and surprise to it. And fourth, it has to be received. Received with joy and gladness. And it seems to me that God's greatest gift to us actually has all those four qualities? Have you thought about that? A gift should express something of the giver. You know, what's the old saying? A gift without the giver is bare. A gift we give to somebody should express something of who we are and our care for the person. I remember there was an old classic Peanuts cartoon. And in this cartoon, Charlie Brown has broken open his piggy bank. And he's got $9.11. And he says to Lucy, I'm going to get Christmas presents with $9.11. And Lucy says to him, You can't do that. You can't get Christmas presents for $9.11. And Charlie Brown says, well, I'm going to try. And she says, you know the way Lucy is. She says, well, they're going to be awfully cheap presents. And he answers, a gift isn't cheap if it's all that you have. A gift isn't cheap if it's all that you have. And it seems to me this is what God has done for us at Christmas time. He has given us himself, his love. He's broken into history in the birth of this child, to bring us back home where we belong. So a gift really has to express something of the giver, and we see that in the birth of this child in Bethlehem. Second, a gift should express something that's fitting or appropriate for the person who receives it. One of my favorite movies at this time of year is The Christmas Story. You remember Ralphie? Ralphie wants a Red Ryder BB gun. That brought back memories. I had one of those. I'm actually one of those people who had one of those. Ralphie wants a Red Ryder BB gun. And Aunt Claire, remember what Aunt Claire gave him for Christmas? A pink pajama bunny suit. And the mother thinks this is absolutely wonderful. Ralphie is horrified. And his father thinks it's a deranged Easter rabbit, you know? But, you know, obvious, this is not a gift for Ralphie at all. He thinks it's just for a four-year-old. It's not his at all. And sometimes we have to be prodded to give that right gift. One year, I gave my wife a microwave. I am not the world's most creative gift giver. The problem was, she really didn't want a microwave. And so she prodded me. She took me by the hand to Shakespeare's Garden, which is a nice garden center over in Brookfield. And she pointed to some spring startups. And she said, I want that, and I want that, and I want that. And I took the message. There's a story, too, about prodding to give the right gift. And it's a story of two little boys. There was Tommy, who's age 10, and Joy, who's age eight. And Tommy, right before Christmas, saw little Joy walking along. And Joy was just crestfallen. He was looking as sad as you can look. And so 10-year-old Tommy asked his 8-year-old friend, you know, what's up? Why are you looking so down and sad? And the little boy said, You know, I asked my mom and dad for a puppy for Christmas, and they said no. And 10-year-old Tommy said, not to worry. What you've got to do is use the right strategy. If you really want a puppy for Christmas, you go home and ask your mom and dad for a baby brother. A few days later, Tommy saw little Joey walking along, bright smile on his face, and something brown and furry in his arms. Sometimes we have to be prodded to give the right thing for the right person. I think God has given us the right thing just for us. And that, you know, when I think of God creating this universe, calling it into being, it just blows my mind. I can't even conceive of a God so great. And I was talking to a friend last night who works with the observatory over in New Milford, and he was saying how they were, you know, receiving messages from this instrument on Mars they've landed, and how they were measuring the wind, and they could actually hear the wind on Mars, 15 miles an hour. And as I say, I can't imagine a God so great, and we're just starting to explore the universe. I can't imagine a God so great that has called all this into existence. And yet God has come to us just on the right level, in a life lived just like ours, with just what we need, love. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to understand Christmas. You just have to be a human being. Right gift for the right person, fitting and appropriate. God has come to us on a level we can understand, and with something we desperately need, his love. Two things. Has to be something of the giver has to be expressed, has to be appropriate for the receiver. The third quality of a good gift was that it should have an element of surprise and mystery and excitement about it. And you think about the birth of a child. There's nothing more natural, is there? And yet at the same time, there's nothing more wondrous and miraculous and surprising. I know when our first daughter was born, my wife was sitting up in the bed drinking tea. And I was just blown away. I was just completely spaced out. God has come to us in a very unexpected and surprising way. In a child born in abject poverty, in crushing poverty, in a stable, in a nowhere town, in a nowhere land. That's not the way I would do things at all. I'd have Jesus born, you know, in Augustus's palace, in the emperor's palace. I'd have him going to Yale and all the rest of it. But what's this? God coming to us in a stable, in abject poverty. What is this? What kind of God is this? All our expectations are turned upside down here. This is not the kind of God we would imagine at all. The element of mystery, of surprise, of the unexpected is there. Now, the fourth quality of a good gift is that it should be received. And I suspect we've all had the experience of giving a gift to somebody that we thought was wonderful, and we were met with disappointment. Or we gave a gift to somebody, and we saw that same gift in the person's garage sale the next summer. You know, somehow what we gave was not a big hit. A gift has to be received. And you remember from school, George Bernard Shaw, an author of a previous generation, the story is told how he just loved to go to used bookstores and sort of look through those dusty shelves in the used bookstore for hidden treasures. And he was looking through a bookstore, and he came across one of his own books. And he couldn't understand how anyone would want to give away one of his books. And he took the book down from the shelf, looked at it, and indeed, it was a book he had given as a gift to one of his best friends. Inside, it said, you know, to GWT, with compliments, GBS, George Bernard Shaw. So what he did was he took the book, bought it, sent it back to his friend to GWT with renewed compliments, GBS. But for a gift really to have meaning, it has to be received. You don't want the person saying, oh, what a nice ugly sweater, you know? And I think it's the same with us at Christmas time. God has given us the best gift ever. But this means we're dealing not with something that just happened 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, but we're dealing with a God who wants to be born anew in our own hearts and our lives. We're dealing with a God who wants us to receive the gift and to the best of our ability to live out our lives in response to that gift, to live out our lives loyal to Jesus' values and what he was all about. You know, we've got the greatest gift. God has given us himself in the person of Christ. He has given us a gift on a level we can appreciate and understand. You just have to be human. And he's given us just what we need, that love, that ultimate love. And the question for us is whether today we receive that gift and make it our own, make it part of our lives. The Gospel of John said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. And St. Paul put his wonderful sentence on it when he said, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Amen.